Welcome to the Homeschool Sanity Show, your weekly prescription for happier, healthier homeschool living. I'm your host, Dr. Melanie Wilson, Christian psychologist turned homeschooling mother of six.
Hey, homeschoolers. I am so excited about today's topic. I believe story is the most powerful way to teach. So, of course, I believe in using story to teach our kids the faith. The Bible and Jesus himself used story to teach. But today we'll talk about another way story can inspire our children with my guests, Janet and Jeff Benj, authors of the Christian Heroes and Heroes of History series, published by Youth with a Mission. Before we get to the interview, I want to share a time-sensitive offer with you. Grammar Galaxy, the curriculum that uses story to teach all language arts concepts, is 20% off now through Cyber Monday with code THANKS. Go to grammargalaxybooks.com/shop and enter the code for the biggest savings of the year. My deepest desire is for kids to love reading and writing the way that I and Janet and Jeff Benj do. So many homeschool parents tell me that Grammar Galaxy has motivated their kids to read and write. They even tell me grammar is their child's favorite subject. Again, use code THANKS for 20% off now through Cyber Monday at grammargalaxybooks.com/shop. Now I'd like to thank our sponsor, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, a Sony Affirm Films movie. Tom Hanks portrays Mr. Rogers in this timely story of kindness triumphing over cynicism. This is based on the true story of a real-life friendship between Fred Rogers and journalist Tom Janod, showing the power of forgiveness.
Hello, neighbor.
This Thanksgiving.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor.
Based on the true story of the friendship between Mr. Rogers and a cynical journalist.
You love broken people like me.
Sometimes we have to ask for help, and that's okay.
Starring Tom Hanks and Matthew Reese, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters now. For tickets and showtimes, go to resources.abeautifulday.movie.
Before I introduce Janet and Jeff Benj, I have to tell you how I met Janet. I attended the 2-to-1 conference in October. This is a conference for Christian homeschool content creators. The first activity was an icebreaker in which we were randomly paired with someone. We were to ask a few questions of our partner so we could introduce her to the group. Janet told me she was with Benj Books. I asked her what kind of book she wrote, and she said, Christian and History Heroes. I said, oh, like the ones YWAM publishes. She said, yes, those are the books. I looked at her name tag again and understood why her name seemed so familiar. I promptly burst into tears and hugged her. I told her that her books had changed my life and my children's lives for eternity. I asked her if she would do me the honor of appearing on the podcast, and the following interview is the result. Janet and Jeff Benj have written together for 33 years. They learned the craft of writing from another husband and wife writing team, John and Elizabeth Sherrill, authors of The Cross and the Switchblade, The Hiding Place, God Smuggler, and many other classic Christian books. Their mission in writing is to entertain, inform, and inspire their readers. Their own lives are a testimony to the power of God. Janet is dyslexic, yet is the author of more than 300 books. I know you will love these two, as I do.
Janet and Jeff, thank you so much for joining me on the Homeschool Sanity Show podcast. I have been so excited to talk with the two of you, and I love our topic for today, which is how to use story to grow our kids' faith. And I know that that has been your work. Your mission is to share biographies, people's life stories in an effort, in one respect, to definitely inspire kids to believe that God is faithful and trustworthy. So before we dive into how we can do that specifically, I would love to hear your personal faith story. You know, do you have a time in each of your lives when you did not feel that you knew Jesus Christ and were walking with him?
Yes, I did. I was raised in a pretty muddled up Christian home, I guess, with lots of, my mother was seeking, I think, and had a lot of different churches that we went to and a lot of different doctrines and theologies. And in the end, I just decided when I was about 13 to ditch it all because it was just a bit much. So I did that. And then when I was 16 in high school, a new girl came to our school, and she was a very vibrant Christian, and we became best friends. And she is the one who really encouraged me to come back, you know, and have another look at Christianity. So, yeah, that's where I'm probably 16 or 17, I gave my heart to the Lord and became just very interested in missions and serving in the church however I could. And then I met Jeff when I was 19, and we decided that we would, you know, get married and serve God together. And it was a very gradual unfolding.
Okay. And Jeff, how about you? Have you always felt that you have been walking with Christ, or was there a time that you felt like something changed?
I grew up in a Plymouth Brethren denomination in New Zealand, so I was always, you know, around it, and our family was very much involved in the church, you know, uncles and aunts and everything. I think it was like around 16, 17, it was like, okay, so this is this thing, you go to church, but, you know, and you do this, but there's like this time now to have a deeper relationship with God. I can't say that I had, like some people do, these stunning conversion moments, but it was that sort of deliberate choice. It's like, okay, I got to get serious about this, you know, going to church and this relationship with God. And so I think that was sort of, that happened, if I remember right, around when I was 16 in that age group. And so that began to, yeah, that really changed my life, and I became much more involved in, you know, sharing with other people, involved in, you know, talking about my faith, and just a deeper relationship, you know, with other Christians and in the church, et cetera. And I, you know, got baptized and all of those things. So, so that was really the start of a change in that relationship to God. And so okay. I hope that helps.
Yes, it does. Well, I don't have one of those dramatic conversion stories either. But what I do have is very similar to what the two of you have, which is, I have times in my life when my faith has taken a great leap forward. And, you know, there's just a renewed commitment and a closer relationship. And I actually feel like reading your books prompted another one of those leaps forward, but I'm getting a bit ahead of myself. So.
Wow.
Oh, I absolutely do feel that way.
Oh, I want to hear about that.
All right, all right. Well, we'll talk about it when we get into it. So I want to know, and I know my audience, my listeners want to know, how did you come to write the Christian and history heroes biographies for Youth with a Mission? I would love to hear that story.
Well, that's a... We've been writing books for like 33 years. We used to be ghostwriters. And I know whether you know, we learned to write from John and Elizabeth Sherrill, who wrote The Hiding Place and Cross and the Switchblade and all those books. And they taught us pretty much everything they knew about writing. And so we were off doing a series, you know, we were mostly ghostwriting. But then the publishers that publish our books were YWAM Publishing and Emerald, but they're pretty much the same principals. We've known them for years, and they had started to go to homeschool conventions, and they were, you know, selling some books. And then they saw all the biographies that existed out there and began looking at them, and some of them were incredibly tedious and boring, yet they were being sold into the homeschool market, you know, for kids to read. And so they decided, like, well, what if we could rewrite these stories in a compelling way? And so that ended up with a discussion with Jana and I. And we had actually written two smaller biographies with picture books for the next age group down for another Christian publisher. So that's how it was kind of started. So we got talking and they said, okay, well, why don't you write something? And, you know, I think we had a contract for the first four books in the series. Let's write these and let's see what happens. And so we did, and kind of, as they say, the rest was history. The books were... Those four books were published together in 1998, and they were just hugely popular, and they just took off. And now we're just finishing up the 79th book in the series.
Wow.
It's a little unbelievable. It's certainly not what we thought was going to happen. I was very pessimistic. I was like, you know, I love writing these books, and I'm only ever going to write four of them, and they're not going to say, oh, my goodness. I was a very... very pessimistic about it all, but yeah, we've kept going and going and going, and there just seems to be, you know, an ongoing market. And I think it is because we tell them in an engaging way. And when we did get down and read a bunch of the biographies of missionaries that were out there, you know, it was kind of shocking how boring they made them sound, because these people have, you know, some of the most extraordinary lives out there and some of the biggest adventures and show the most courage, and even to a secular audience, and that they could be sort of made to be so boring you had to bribe a kid to read them was pretty crazy to us. So that's where we started.
Yes, indeed. So we've been, that's kept us busy now for quite a while.
Yes. Years. Well, I am so interested to know, do you remember which were your first four titles?
Mm-hmm. The first one, the first book we ever wrote in the series was Hudson Taylor, followed by Nate Saint, and then Amy Carmichael, and
Gladys
Aylward.
All right. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oldies but goodies.
Yes. So if you don't know where to start, if you haven't been reading these with your kids, and I highly recommend that you read them with your kids, you don't want your kids to have all the fun on their own, then you could start with those four. That's really good to know that those were your first four titles. Well, I want to know, as a writer myself, and I know that you have to do a lot of research to write these books. When you are doing that research, do you find that these Christian heroes' stories grow your own faith?
Yes, I do. I feel like we spend so much time with each one of these people. I do the initial research. And so, you know, I'm pretty much reading everything I can get my hands on. I'm reading their journals. I'm reading, you know, their letters, whatever I can find. And so, you know, I might be spending 2, 3, 4 weeks just going over everything they've written. I know that not many people have the privilege of doing that. And I think that it certainly does, you know, we tell the stories in chronological order and they unfold as they would have unfolded to the person. So I think that's one of the strengths of our books is that, you know, we even a book like Abraham Lincoln, where we know he's going to be assassinated, we don't approach it from the day he's born, that he's only got this long to live and he's going to, you know, come to this end. So I think that we really... we live kind of alongside them and through their ups and downs and their doubts and their leaps of faith and their discouragements and their encouragements. And so I think it really does have an effect on us doing this year after year.
Yeah, it's like you enter their lives and you dwell sort of inside their hearts and their heads. And so in the course of writing the books, you begin to think like them and process and you become friends. And when you get to the end of a book, it's like it's a sad departure. It's like, wow, you know, we've been getting up every morning for the last 3 months and spending time together. But now that's over. So in the sense of, you know, a really close friend rubs off on you, I think that they all rub off on us in some way or other and leave some deposit of their goodness in our lives.
Yeah. Oh, I love that you become friends and it's a sad mm-hmm. departure. Well, I have another question for you about who some of your favorite heroes of the faith are. But before I ask you to answer that question, I want to share with you my own story of how I became acquainted with you and your books. And we mentioned earlier that your books have helped to grow my faith. So I think what had happened is my husband was very uneasy, which doesn't typically happen. But one summer, my husband was very uneasy about finances, very nervous, not wanting to spend any money. And I had mentioned to a friend of mine that he was having all of these, you know, anxieties about mm-hmm. finances. And she said, well, a friend of mine told me that, you know, if you're having money issues, that you really want to read this book about George Mueller. And I said, oh, okay. And so I'm thinking this is like a finance book, you know, how to manage your finances. And so I looked it up. I think I ordered it from Amazon, the biography of George Mueller published by Youth with a Mission, and I got it. And I believe I was reading it when I was working out at the time. That's how I got myself to exercise. I was sitting on the bike or something reading this book. And I just thought, what on earth does this have to do with money management? And in fact, George, in his early days, was a con artist, right? So I'm thinking, I have the wrong book. And I really did think that. I thought, I did not get the right George Mueller here. But I continued to read it. And I was so taken with the story. I had not finished it when I said to my family, I have to read you this book. And so I started reading it aloud in the evenings with my family, my whole family. My husband was listening along with our 6 kids. Well, I didn't even have 6 kids at that time. But I was so taken by his story because to me, it is the best story. And it is such a gospel story of a man who was changed mm-hmm. from someone who was extremely self-centered, mm-hmm. only cared about himself and what he could manipulate out of others, to someone who, at least in his in his heart, wanted to completely trust God for everything. Mm-hmm. And what he accomplished, and, you know, just reading the miracles that he got to experience because he trusted God. I went on to read just about everything that he wrote because I was so fascinated by him. I've read his book, A Life of Trust.
Mm-hmm.
I've recommended that to friends and they're kind of like, yeah, that's really not for me. But I just love George Mueller. It's like you said, I love his heart. I want to meet him in heaven and have a visit with him. So that changed my life and still today inspires me to make trusting God my number one goal. Mm-hmm. So you, by writing his story and you know, making that book available to the world, changed my life, changed my family's life, and our faith and the direction. So with that introduction, I want to know who your favorite heroes are.
Well, that's really interesting. And thank you for sharing that. It's that's very humbling. I think one of the things that, you know, Jeff and I really wanted to do when we started the series was to kind of re-energize these people for a new generation, you know, to bring them back. We knew that they weren't going in, written in an accessible form for kids today and adults today as well. And so what we wanted to do was to reintroduce them. So that's fantastic. I have a lot of favorite books, but I must say that George Mueller is the only book that I cannot talk about for more than a minute without tearing up, even now. So there's something very deep in my heart that resonates with George's story. Though I do have, you know, a lot of books that I love. I love Adoniram Judson's story. He went to Burma, and he was the first missionary out of the U.S. I love his story, but yeah, there is something special about George. How about you, Jeff?
It's really hard to say. I pick you over you. They're all amazing stories. I think one of the stories that resonates and I enjoyed writing was the story of John Williams, simply because both of us are, of course, originally from New Zealand. And John Williams was the missionary who opened up the Pacific Islands to the gospel with his ship, The Messenger of Peace. And here's a phenomenal story. He gets marooned on one of the islands and had to have to build a new ship. And there's all kinds of exciting stuff. But it's like it's a story that not many, very many people know of, but he is absolutely instrumental in opening the Pacific islands of the Pacific to the gospel. And they are some of the most Christian parts of the world today. And so John Williams is obviously a favorite because, you know, we all grew up knowing about John Williams in New Zealand. Of course, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, too, is a book that I really resonates with me. And I'm real proud of the word. It was a very difficult book to write. But I think his life challenges anybody who reads through that book. Because of all that he went through, but his commitment to God and his commitment to follow through on his beliefs, even if it did cost him in the end his life.
Mm-hmm.
So he's great. And of course, Richard Wurmbrand, which we wrote not too long ago, he's an inspiring man. Just all that he went through for his faith, it was, you know, it's like, wow, I found myself like, could I do this? This is like the torture, the punishment that stuff was meted out to him, first by the Nazis, then by the communists, was just phenomenal. So
I would really like to just put everything else that I'm doing aside and just read all 79 of your books now. I'm feeling super inspired. Truly, because I just feel like there is so much to be gained from reading the books personally, but also from sharing them with our kids. And so I'm going to transition a little bit to our topic for today. So how can we reach kids of various ages who are at various stages of faith through the use of story, specifically through the use of biographies like the ones that you write?
Well, I think that a good story is a good story, and I don't feel that it's something that needs to be ascribed to an age group. I'm very humbled with who reads our stories and responds to us, and we will get letters from, say, literally a 7-year-old Amish girl in Ohio, telling us how much, you know, a book has meant to her. And then we will get a letter from someone on death row, and they're talking about the same book, and it's impacted them as well. And I honestly, I find that quite extraordinary because we have trouble explaining to people that, you know, these books aren't for a certain age group. They're just good stories. And I do think that kids and adults are wired for story. And, you know, if kids are struggling with their faith, arguing with them is really not very productive. But I think being an example and making sure they're exposed to other people's stories is, I would think, for me, from my perspective, the best thing that you could do. What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, I think the old adage we have in writing is show, don't tell, is really powerful in this. And I think, as Janet alluded to, you know, we can argue and we can all sorts of things, but not necessarily the most productive ways. But if I give you, look, read this story, or let me tell you about so-and-so, and the story, yeah, is like, it's a channel. We are so deeply wired as human beings for stories that they go deep into our brains, and they inspire us. So, and I think that one of the things, as like a lot of people, when they read a really good book, you know, firstly, it's entertaining, and we kind of try to live by this maxim. Firstly, we want to entertain you. We want to inform you. So as you're being entertained, then you're getting lots of information and you're beginning to put this person in context. And then the last thing is, we want to inspire you. We want to show you that part of a person's life that really does inspire, so that at the end, you've been entertained, you've been informed, and hopefully you've been inspired. And I think, and that's gone deep into your brain because it's wrapped up in the wrapper of a really well-told story. And I think that is really has a profound impact on people.
And also, I would say that, you know, sometimes when you're, even if you're reading a story like George Mueller or Amy Carmichael or Mary Slessor or Gladys Aylward, you're reading something that happened back in time. And I think a lot of kids can think, well, you know, that was, you know, long ago and far away. And it was. So we do have some books which are current, which I think are fantastic. We wrote one on Klaus-Dieter John, who was a German man who started a state-of-the-art hospital in Peru with his wife. They're both doctors. And I went down to Peru and spent time with him. And, I mean, he's the real deal. Read the book. The miracles are still happening today for him and for his hospital and for provision, and it's just extraordinary. And we have two types of people that we write about, in my opinion. People who kind of wind down as they get older because of ailments or, you know, whatever, they're kind of, their ministry peaks and then we, you know, do a quick thing and they're passed on. Or there's people who just keep expanding. And they're the hardest ones to write about because, you know, you're just like, oh my goodness, please don't start this new ministry. I mean, like Klaus, it's like, no, we don't need a radio ministry in the valley. No, we don't need a high school for these kids. No. You know, and it was just like something that just kept blossoming out. And I think reading current stories to kids can be very inspiring. Another one that is just, this man is absolutely, I don't know, he's 67. He has diabetes. His name is Charles Mooley, and he runs the the children's ministries in Kenya. He has over 10,000 children that he and his wife have adopted and take responsibility for. And he came to the States two or three times. We met with him and interviewed him. And he's one of those ones, too, that his life is just still blossoming. It's just crazy. I just can't comprehend all of the different trails that we would have to go down to tell all the miracles that happen and continue to happen to him. So I think there's something to be said for reading to kids some stories that they are current and that they can actually, you know, Google the person today and see what's happening to them today, you know, Google the hospital, get on the mailing list. You know, I think it kind of can draw a bridge between people like George Mueller, who might just seem, you know, like they came from a different era, which they did, to, you know, to what God's doing in people's lives today. I mean, it's the same thing. So that's kind of my thoughts.
Oh, yeah. I you know, I think that we live in a bit of a crazy world right now. And so it's fun to go inside a story and see, like, some of these guys, people, when they went to different countries, there's some pretty crazy stuff there, but they burrowed into their faith and they worked their way through it. And they were the bearer of tremendous blessing to the people around them as they did so. And like I say, story in my, view is powerful. And I watch our grandkids who, you know, they're 5, 4, and 2.5 and they'll just be captivated by being read to, a storybook or even watching some story on a screen somewhere. They just burrow into it, and I think that that's what has an impact. And we know, you know, we go to conferences, homeschool conferences. This is what, you know, readers come up to us from, and they're from very young, as Janet said, to adults and say, look, when I started this book, I couldn't put it down. And now I want to be like, you know, Adoniram Judson or Mueller or, you know, all of these people. And some of them, some families have felt challenged to go out and go as missionaries. Or I know there are some people, some guys, two guys came and talked to us and they were training to be come pilot so they could join missionary aviation or participate in missionary aviation. So, you know, their lives are being challenged by these. And,
and we know quite a few children who have been adopted as a result of, you know, reading Gladys Aylward or George Mueller. So, yeah, it's really wow. It's quite an extraordinary experience to sit here quietly in our very quiet home. We have no one living with us but us two. All the kids have gone. So it's very quiet and just, you know, we just meditate and write and then just send it out into the world. And then to get little glimpses of what our books are doing is really quite, it's very, very rewarding, and I don't know that many people get to experience that. So we're very grateful.
Right, we are, and of course, the other thing with these stories, you're putting a repository deep in their hearts that the Holy Spirit can work with over time. You know, so that as they work through issues in their life, they can think, yes, so and so was here, and I know people have talked to us about that, and I went back and read the book, and it's so. Bless me, this, you know, and so, yeah, it's a great honor to play this part in, you know, leaving something of hopefully of real spiritual value in the lives of our readers, and particularly, of course, young readers.
Right. Oh, that is so good. And I loved what you touched on there, too, was miracles. I think that can really inspire people too, because I think we have this idea that, or at least some people do, that miracles stopped when, the apostles went to heaven and it's over. And it isn't. And so I love that you are sharing how God has been working miracles throughout history and even continues today. And I think that is just another blessing of your ministry.
Right. Yeah.
So what we know is that story is the most memorable part of what we take in, right? So when right. we're mm-hmm. listening to a sermon, you know, as soon as the pastor stops to tell a story, we pay attention.
Right.
And we remember. We may not right. remember what the sermon was about, but we will remember the story. And so I love the fact that you are using story to teach faith and to grow and to teach history. I mean, to teach so many different mm-hmm. things. But the other thing that I love about your books is that they are available in many different formats. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. Excuse me. They are available, of course, as paperback books. They're also available as ebooks. You know, originally we wrote them, you know, as paperbacks, but when we first started, the ebooks wasn't even a thing. But now they're available in ebook formats for both Kindle and through the Nook and Apple Books, et cetera. So there's several formats that are available in that. And then they're also available as audiobooks. Mm-hmm. And there's two versions of those. There's an audiobook that's on CD that you can plug into a CD player and listen to in your car or at home. And there's also an MP3 version that you can put on your phone or whatever and listen to as well. And so those are the basic formats at this stage. And I'm so impressed with the quality of the audiobooks. Why I'm publishing, organized and arranged for a production company to do the audiobooks. And I have to say they've done a stellar job. I'm so impressed with the quality, the narrator. We have the same narrator for all the books about men and the same narrator for all the books about female. And they just do wonderfully well. So, mm-hmm. And I remember listening to one for the first time I heard one. I didn't know what it was. We were at a show and there was just this constant reading going on. And I'm like, I think I said to Jenna, like, what the heck is that? And then now that seems kind of familiar. And it was one of the early audiobooks, and it was Amy Carmichael, mm-hmm. which, of course, I hadn't revisited in a number of years. Like, oh, yeah, you know, I wrote that. It actually sounds pretty good.
Wait a minute, we need to hear more.
That's great. Well, it just makes it so accessible for a variety of, reader types. I know so many kids prefer audio. It's so handy for families to be able to listen while you're having lunch, possibly,
right.
while you're traveling. I mean, you have a lot of options
right.
for listening.
Also, the books are in Spanish.
Okay.
And so I know that some families who have Spanish as a second language mm-hmm. are reading them to help with their Spanish vocab and things like that. So that's kind of
yes, not all of them, but about 42 or 45. And there's an ongoing process of getting them translated into Spanish. And they're in about, they're translated into about 40 other different languages around the world.
Wow.
So sometimes we'll get a book that is written, they're in Arabic and different things. You look at it like, wow. Oh, we start at the back on this one and go for it. It's like, so they're all around the world. And which has really, blessed us because they're in some odd places. And there's tribes, people in the mountains of the Philippines reading our books because they've been translated into, I forget the language there. And it's like, wow. So they have a very, very wide reach.
It is wonderful.
Quite humbling to think, it's not us, obviously. But you know, God has done this and they really are reaching the whole world. It's a bit mind boggling.
It is. It truly is. And I just have to say that I feel like it's such an honor to talk with you because I feel that you two are Christian heroes. I know that that book is going to get written about you. So if I were you, I would write it so you could control it.
Right? Well, someone else does all the research.
That's right. That's right. Well, I would love for you to tell us how we can best connect with you online and the best place to find your books. And I am going to include links to the titles that you have mentioned in the show notes for people, but I would love to just have you tell us how we can just keep this conversation going with you.
Sure. Well, for the last 25 years, I guess we've pretty much just been writing. But we're in a new season here. So we are, going to conferences, which is where I met you at the 2-to-1 conference. We're speaking at conferences. We're, doing interviews and things like that. So, there's a lot more places where we're out there and active. So probably the number one place to find out what we're doing and to connect with us would be our website.
Oh, yeah, our website, which is bengebooks.com. And it's a nice new website, different than the old one that was sat out there unattended for years. It's active, and we're developing it. And you can sign up to our mailing list and get more information. We're in the process of ourselves putting together a podcast where we talk about books and writing, et cetera. So that's going to be coming very soon. So that's one place you can find us. You can find us on Facebook as Heroes Then and Now. And we're also on Instagram as Binge Books. And I think Janet even has a Pinterest account.
I do. I've just started it, and I'm just trying to, find resources for each of the books that we've written that I really think are good and solid and useful. And I think I have 9 followers now. So.
Great.
I'm like, well, this is exciting.
Yes.
But it can grow, right?
Yes, it can. It absolutely can. And we will ask people to follow you. Are you Binge Books on Pinterest also?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And there's a separate board for each hero. And okay. Then also this month, there are 31 Christian homeschool mom bloggers who are each doing a book review on one of our books. Aww. And you can find those on our website if you want to hear their opinions of a specific book. And there's also a competition we're giving away some
of our books, I think.
Groups of our books.
Yeah, so you can find that, and you'll find it on the Binge Books website under the reviews tab. And you.
So that's been humbling too, is to tune in every day and read about a family that has been impacted. We often hear this, we have previous till this year just gone to one conference a year in Orlando where we live, and we hear a lot of the same stories over and over. And one of the stories that we do hear over and over is that, mom will start reading the story to the younger kids, and then next thing the older kids are kind of hanging out, and then they're listening, and then the next thing the dad's like, "Oh, that's not so bad," and then the next thing the dad's saying, "Don't read another chapter till I get home from work," mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Right.
And that we hear that quite common. Mm-hmm. That's quite common.
Yes. Yeah.
And then the next thing the whole family is having a really loud time every day. And I think as a plug for Read Alouds, I think there's nothing better than your family all sitting around at the same time concentrating on the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to all go read a book or all watch a video, but to do it together. And, getting back to the Read Aloud thing at school and what's memorable, Jeff and I both were read to by our teachers every day of our elementary and middle school lives. That was just a standard feature in a New Zealand school.
Right.
And those are the things I remember about the classes, mm-hmm. not pretty much nothing else. But I can name you a lot of the books that the teachers read because they do take your imagination and they do inspire you in a way that really nothing else does.
Right. So, oh, totally. Yes.
Yeah.
Completely agree. Well, I hope that what you have shared today will inspire people to purchase your books. And when they do, they are not going to want to let them go. They're going to want to create a family library as a legacy library. And I hope that you've also inspired people to begin reading aloud or return to reading aloud if they've let that habit go, because it's just a wonderful way of creating family memories.
Right.
So I love it.
Right.
Well, you two are such a blessing. Thank you for taking time away from your busy writing schedule to share with us. And I would love to have you back another time. You know, maybe you can tell us about the new books that you're writing.
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, we would love to come back. We're. It's a privilege to be able to speak, you know, directly to our audience as well as through our writing. It's.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Wonderful.
It's been great to be here.
So thank you.
To find the links to all the books mentioned in this episode, go to homeschoolsanity.com/storyfaith. Thanks again to our sponsor, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood Movie. Have a happy Thanksgiving if you are celebrating this week.
Thank you for joining me for the Homeschool Sanity Show. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.